I am not Jay, and for those that you might not recognize me, I don't go to this service a lot. I'm actually the praise band leader of the second service. My name's Justin. Jay, he's on a vacation, has asked me to fill in this week to give a sermon. I was very nervous but very excited to be with you this morning, and I had written a lot of my sermon out a few weeks ago. A lot of it was completed, a lot of it was done, and then we had vacation Bible school this last week. Where we had something, I don't see Kathy in here, but we had, the last time I saw it was like 120-something kids, 120, way in the back, 120-something kids here, and a lot of us got to volunteer, and it was an awesome experience. But one of the crazy things I saw God do in our church was that the message we were teaching the kids and Kathy had organized for the kids was very similar to what I wanted to talk about this Sunday. And so I kind of rewrote a lot of things and wanted to share a lot of what happened at VBS. The theme for VBS was shipwrecked, and it was cool. We had a bunch of island stuff set up on the stage. We had palm trees and ships, and Kathy was wearing a captain's sailor's hat when she was teaching Bible lessons to the children. But I think anyone that worked here and got to volunteer, or any of the kids that were there, would agree that the deeper theme that we're trying to get to is that Jesus rescues. And that when we're shipwrecked in life, that Jesus rescues. And we would put a lot of situations to the kids. We'd give them all these kind of different scenarios and put them in. We would ask them, when you're lost, or when you feel lonely, or when you're stressed. And the answer that they would always give back was that Jesus rescues. And that was kind of the theme I wanted to fit in this week. And on top of all of Kathy's preparation and getting us all organized and making sure we were here and knew what we were doing, she also decided that she had to, along with Jerry Dunlap, lead the Bible stories for the children. And one of the stories she shared was the story of Martha and her sister Mary, and how they were going to have Jesus over at their house. And Martha was so preoccupied with cleaning and fixing things and making sure that everything was tidied and that she was perfect, that she forgot what was most important. And that's what her sister Mary was doing. Her sister Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, focusing on him, taking in all his glory, praising him. And that's what's important. That's what we need to focus on. And so I would like us to get into our scripture this morning, which is a very similar message, a very similar theme. We're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 6. Verses 25 through 34. It's a part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Hear the word of God this morning. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Let's pray. Father, I thank you again that we can be here and praise you today, that we can sing your praises and leave our anxieties at the door, God, that we can come here and focus on you and worship you and be in your presence, God, that we can be in the presence of other believers and have fellowship together. Lord, today I pray that we can hear this message and receive it just like the kids did this week, and that we can apply it to our own lives, God, that you can help guide us out of troubles and sorrows and hardships in our lives, Lord, that we may be facing today and we will be facing in the future, God. That you can help us seek your glory. You can help us seek your kingdom instead of trying to focus on ourselves, God. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So one of the funny things I thought happened at VBS was during the Bible study, Kathy actually asked the kids if any of them felt like they were going through any struggles or hardships. And the kids kind of conversed in their groups with their adult leader. And a lot of them, you know, they kind of had the basic thing. They said, like, chores and homework and my parents getting after me and that kind of stuff. But the funny thing was this one girl raised her hand and said, "Well, my parents struggle more than I do." And Kathy kind of asked, "Well, why do you think that is?" And she says, "Because they have to take care of me." That was her answer to that. And it was funny and cute, but at the same time, there's a lot of truth packed into that statement, I think. You know, there is a lot of stress that we go through as an adult. And we were taking care of these kids and working with them to handle their stresses, but all the meanwhile during this Bible study, I was talking to other adults that were around me, and they're like, "Man, I'm getting a lot out of this study too. It's not just the kids. I needed to hear that message also." As basic and simple as it was, it wasn't something in-depth or too complicated or crazy, but the adults took a lot out of it too. They're like, "I do need to be more like Mary. I do need to focus on Jesus more rather than trying to fix this and make this happen." And it's hard, and it's not easy. Even I myself, I've gone through a lot of stress this year. I've gone through a lot of... It's what caused me to want to write this sermon, and I've gone through a lot of financial issues. I unexpectedly lost a job this year, which put me in a lot of financial trouble. I wasn't sure I was going to pay for things. I had a family member going through a serious injury this year. My younger sister, who was only 16, had to have hip surgery last month. And now she's still in severe pain. She can barely walk. She's on pain medication pretty much 24/7. And it's caused me to kind of ask God and pray to God, why does someone as caring as her and loving as her need to go through this kind of pain right now? It has me ponder. I've had a lot of friendships that kind of took a downfall this year that I wondered why. Why is this stress happening? How do I handle this? And I know I've gotten to know a lot of you at this church over the last few years and gotten to know a lot of your stories and know that a lot of you have faced these similar things. That I'm not alone in this situation, that a lot of us go through stresses and troubles, some of us every day of our lives. And we all handle it differently, but we all go through them. We're all born into sin as humans. And so we all face these problems. We're all going to face trials. Even Jesus, who was a sinless man, faced trials. What does that mean for us? We're going to be facing much more. And how we handle them, I think, can kind of counteract what the Bible is teaching us, what Jesus was teaching us in that message. You see, I think sin and anxiety and our thoughts kind of trap us in this chokehold, in this bubble. And all that's inside there is thoughts of us and thoughts of what should I do? How can I fix this? I think it says it, especially Jesus is focusing on in the first verse, verse 25. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?" You see, we get stuck in this bubble where it's thoughts about us and thoughts about how we can fix it. He says in verse 27, he says, "And which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life?" And what I got from that and what I've seen in my own life and many others around me is that we may not be trying to add an hour to our life with our anxiety, but we are, whether it's subconsciously or consciously, trying to fix the problem or trying to make a better solution to the problem. I myself have found myself laying in bed at night after a bad day thinking about, well, if I just did this, how could I have fixed it? Or if I just said this, or if I am going to say this, how will it fix it? And I go through all of these solutions in my head. And ultimately, what good does that do? It doesn't change anything. All it does is make me tired the next day and more cranky and then treat people a little poorly like I shouldn't do. But the answer is not us. It's not us who can overcome these things. The outcome doesn't rely on our thought process, I guess. Our crowded, sinful thoughts in this bubble of us and me. The only answer to that is Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can change this. God is the only one in control of our lives. And that's kind of a message I feel like we all know, but sometimes don't all live out. I know myself, I want to be in control. I want to fix these things. I want to solve my problems. I want to make them better. And the message we shared at Kids Club and VBS this last week was a good reminder to me and a good reminder to a lot of our stewards, and it kind of affirmed to me that we need to just remind ourselves of this all the time, that God's the one in control, that God is the answer. And so you see in the sermon title, Thinking Versus Noticing, I've kind of balanced this idea of how we kind of tend to solve our problems and how biblically we should be solving our problems. Like I said, thinking puts us in this bubble. Thinking traps us during these hard times of me, how can I fix this? How can I overcome this? How could I have solved this problem? And I think Jesus kind of gives us the answer of what we should be doing here in verse 33. He says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So how we tend to go about things in our human nature is to think and to be stuck in our thoughts. And like I said, that doesn't have much benefit to us. Me staying up at night thinking about things and worrying about them and being anxious about them isn't going to change the outcome, because no matter what I do, God's will is going to be done regardless. God's plan for me is going to be done regardless of how much I stay up at night, how much I think I'm helping things. What God has in store for me is what's going to be done. And what he's saying here is to stop thinking and to start noticing in these times of stress and these problems. Start to notice God's glory around you, the blessings in your life. Start seeking his kingdom by praising him and worshiping him. And that's hard when life is falling apart around you. It's hard to think how great God is. That's exactly what Jesus is calling us to do. He's calling us to be more like Mary and less like Martha. When times are stressful, to just come to the feet of Jesus and praise him and worship him and be thankful for all the blessings around us in our life. Now, I don't want it to be misinterpreted that I'm saying that thinking is bad, because thinking is a blessing from God. Thinking is what separates us from any other animal on the planet. Thinking is what allows us to have this conversation right now. But what Jesus' answer to that is in verse 34, I believe. He says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." You see, life is not a battle. Life is a war. But a war is comprised of many battles of varying sizes. There's going to be different trials that we face. And the time to think is when we're preparing for those battles, when we're building up for those battles, when we know times are going to be tough. When things are going well, we can think, we can prepare, we can fix what's broken, we can make better what's already good. We can have conversation like this, we can meet with our mentors, we can have good fellowship with one another and learn and prepare for these hardships that are to come. But when we're in those battles, and as many of you know, when you're in a hardship and in a trial in your life, it's you need all the energy you can get. You need all the energy you can have, and wasting it on thought, wasting it on laying in bed all night and letting these thoughts corrupt your head about me. How can I fix this? That's not going to help you overcome. You see, I've been spending this year trying to solve my own problems, and all it's done is led me to have more sinful action. All it's done is led me down a worse hole. Because just like any blessing in our life, the blessing of thought can be obscured and misconstrued by the devil seeping in. He can make the thoughts about us. The world itself, our culture today, tells us that this circle is good, that this thought about us and us fixing it and make sure we get the best thing and make sure we are on top of everything, that's what the world tells us is good. That's what the devil tells us is good. But God's telling us, sit at the feet of Jesus when you're having problems. Take this circle and expand it. Focus on what's around you. When you're struggling, come to the feet of Jesus. Notice his glory. Stop thinking and start noticing. Start noticing how beautiful the nature is around you. Start noticing how beautiful and amazing your friends are. That you have friends that care for you and want to help you here at this church and outside the church too, but especially here. When I was going through hardships, I was prideful and embarrassed to admit it. I didn't want help. I wanted to fix it. But Jesus has blessed me with friends here, family here, that was willing to take care of me. Jesus blessed me in himself. He's already given me so much things that I needed, and I was just being selfish in how I handled it. my thought process. It got stuck in my head that I can fix, that I can overcome it. And I know that's our sinful human nature speaking to us. And this isn't a super deep, crazy theological sermon, but I think it's one that we need a reminder of and to remind ourselves of every day. Is when we face a trial, come to the feet of Jesus. When we face a hardship, come to the feet of Jesus. And how do we do that? Like I said, we focus on the blessings around us, our friends, our family, this church, nature. We can also do it by seeking his kingdom, by doing what we're doing right now, coming here to church, leaving our anxieties at the door, and praising God and thanking him for how great he is, regardless of our life's current situation, regardless of how hard things currently are. We can come here and praise him with worship. We can come here and pray to him, confess our wrongdoings. We can come here and have great fellowship with great friends and family who care for us. And I think that's important. And I think that's what our focus should be on. Tying it back to VBS, that story of Mary and Martha, how often do we find ourselves acting like Martha? Where when something goes wrong, and it doesn't have to be a huge thing, it could be I had a bad day at work and now I'm stressed and I'm trying to figure it out and solve it. We tend to be like Martha. The kids saw that, the adults saw that. That's our human nature speaking to us. That's the sin, that's the world talking to us, trying to trap us. And we need to be more like Mary. And it's hard. It's hard to accept how great Jesus is when life around us seems unbearable, or life around us feels terrible or wrong, or we're in this hole so deep that we can't climb out of. It's hard to say, Jesus, thank you for how awesome you are and all the blessings in my life. But it's what we're called to do. And we can be here to help each other out for that. The other aspect that I wanted to touch on is our church. We like to talk about being a lighthouse in the community. And one of the ways we can do that is by showing others how important it is that when we're stressed, to come to the feet of Jesus. My sister is not a Christian, and when she's in pain from her hip surgery and doesn't know the Lord, it's hard for me to tell her, it's okay, you're blessed, you're loved, you'll be taken care of. But that's what I'm called to do. That's what I have to do. It's a way for us to get out and share Jesus' love with one another. So not only is this noticing God's glory good for us, it's good for the community. It's good for us to teach the children, which we did during Vacation Bible School. It's good for us to teach non-believers and believers alike outside of the church. It's good for us to remind one another constantly how blessed we are and how great this life is, that because of Jesus' death, we don't have to die for our sins. That's a blessing in itself that should lift up our spirits. And it sounds hard to give it up to God during times of struggle, but I think we should take it as a blessing. I think it should be an honor for us to lift up our anxieties to God. It should be an honor for us to come to the feet of Jesus and say, this is for you, and I know you'll take care of me, and I know you love me. And so, like I said in that final thought, in verse 34, therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Some people read that little verse and think it means live for today without a care for tomorrow, is what I've been told by one of my friends. And I think what it really means is kind of what we're talking about. Life is full of battles, and we need to think today to prepare for tomorrow, because tomorrow's going to have its troubles. Tomorrow's going to have its problems. And today, while things are good, we can focus on fixing what needs to be fixed, making better what's already good. We can work diligently on earth while aiming at heaven, so that when these trials and tribulations come, we can just take a deep breath and come to the feet of Jesus, knowing that we're already taken care of. We're already blessed. God knows what we need, and it will be provided for. And as we kind of wrap this up, I'd like to encourage all of us to be that light for each other, to remind each other when things are wrong that it'll be okay, that you have us here as a church family. Remind the kids that they have not just their own parents, but plenty of parents and grandparents here that love them and care for them and want to bless them. Remind our friends who are going through the loss of a loved one or financial stress, or I know we have friends here that are affected by the fires in California. to remind them that God is there for them, that God will take care of them. And it's going to be hard for them to hear, and it's going to be hard for us to hear. But we have to lead by example. We have to live that life. And so I encourage us, as we finish the sermon here, I encourage us to start seeking the kingdom more in times of struggle and stop seeking our own self for answers. I also encourage us to live out that walk and be a lighthouse to others around us, to teach them that that's how we need to solve our problems, that we're not going to change the outcome, that that's God's job. And I think that is a way that we can be a lighthouse. That is a way that our church can go out into the community and share with families. We had lots of kids here at VBS that don't go to church. And we were able to teach them about struggles, teach them about life. There were some kids that are dealing with some stuff that us adults would have a hard time handling. Loss of loved ones, parents getting divorced. It's hard. It hurts. And we were able to teach them that come to the feet of Jesus. And as I heard that, I just needed a reminder that us as adults need to do the same thing. That it's not just something we can teach kids, it's something we need to live out too. So I encourage us to be a lighthouse. I encourage us to come to the feet of Jesus. And as I said, I don't want anyone to think or believe that I'm trying to say that thinking is bad. It's a blessing. But think while the times are good. Think while we're preparing for these battles. So when we face these trials and tribulations and hardships, we can just give it to God. I encourage us to be a lighthouse. I encourage us to go out and live our faith to the fullest. And I want to be here for each of us so that we can be here together. We can live in joy knowing that God takes care of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that you've died for our sins, God. We thank you that in every hardship, you are there for us. We thank you that it's not in our control, God. As much as we want it to be, I thank you that it's not. I thank you that it's a blessing that we get to come to you and sit at your feet and lift our anxieties up to you, God, that you're going to handle our problems, Lord. I thank you that we don't have to do that, God. I thank you for every blessing that we have in this life, that we're clothed, that we have food, that we have shelter, that we have our friends and family at church that we can come together with and praise you with, God. I'm thankful for this church in itself, that we have a nice building that we can come to and praise you in, God. I thank you for all of my friends here, Lord. The blessing that they are in my life and in each other's lives, that we can help encourage each other and be a lighthouse to each other and lift each other up. Lord, and I pray that we can cast our anxieties onto you, that we understand it's not in our control, and that, God, you are in control. Lord, I thank you. I pray that we can just hear this simple message, God. It's not deep. It's something that we just need to remind ourselves of every week, every day, every time we face something, God. I thank you, and I pray that we can hear it and that we can live it out. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.